gets it normally. No, anyway. You don't. Sure. Okay. Well, just like a normal class, and then depending on what everybody votes on, we'll decide. So, anyway, I'll just sit down and have a normal, pretend like the projector's not here. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Normally, Nityananda Pran Prabhu was supposed to be here and give class, but he's not feeling well. So he asked me to do something. So either zero preparation whatsoever. So I figure we can read the verse, see if there's any discussion, and if there's not, then we could just hear a Prabhupada class on this topic or in this verse. But I was thinking we could do both. Yeah, I was thinking we could have a little discussion, see how it goes. If it's really lively, then we'll just continue the discussion. If not, then we'll go to Prabhupada class. So it's a group effort here. Okay. Okay, so we're reading 6th Canto, chapter 18, text 74. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gyana Timrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Malitam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Okay, so text 1874. It's not. Aradhanam Bhagavata Vihamana Nirashishaha Yetu Nechanchapi Param Te Svarta Kushala Smrita Radham. Ihamana nirashisha. Nitune chantya piparam. Desvata kushalasmita. Radhanam bhagavata. Ihamana nirashisha. Nitu ne chantya piparam. Te svata kushalasmita. Aradhanam bhagavata. Ihamana nirashisha. Nitu ne chantya piparam. Desvarta kushalasmita. Aradhanam bhagavata. Nihamana nirashisha. Nyetu nechanti piparam. Desvarta kushalasmita. Naradhanam bhagavata. Ihamana nirashisha. Nyetu nechanta piparam. Desvarta kushalasmita. Aradhanam. The worship Bhagavata of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ihamanaha, being interested in. Nirashishaha, without material desires. Ye, those who, to, indeed, na icchanti. Na icchanti, do not desire. Api, even, param, liberation, te, they, svarta, in their own interest. Kushalaha, expert, smritaha, are considered. Translation. Although those who are interested only in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not desire anything material from the Lord, and do not even want liberation, Lord Krishna fulfills all their desires. Purport. When Dhruva Maharaj saw Lord Vishnu, he declined to take any benedictions from him, for he was fully satisfied by seeing the Lord. Nonetheless, the Lord is so kind that because Dhruva Maharaj, in the beginning, had desired a kingdom greater than his father's, he was promoted to Dhruva Loka, the best planet in the universe. Therefore, in the Shastra it is said, Akama Sarvakama Kamava Moksha Kama Udaradhi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yejuta Purusham Param. Quote, a person who has broader intelligence, whether he is full of material desires, free from material desires, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. One should engage in full devotional service. Then, even though he has no desires, whatever desires he previously had can all be fulfilled simply by his worship of the Lord. The actual devotee does not desire even liberation. Nyabhilashita shunyam. The Lord, however, fulfills the desire of the devotee by awarding him opulence that will never be destroyed. A karmi's opulence is destroyed, but the opulence of a devotee is never destroyed. A devotee becomes more and more opulent as he increases his devotional service to the Lord. Okay, so you remember who's speaking this verse? Kashyapa Muni? Anybody else? Indra, believe it or not. And Indra is the one who is kind of apologizing for killing or trying to kill Diti's son in the womb. Diti, and then, anyway, the son turned in. Diti's child, Indra cut him into 49 pieces and they all became 49 different living entities, the Maruts. That's what we're reading about. So now Indra's kind of speaking with Diti, who is his aunt, and just kind of saying, I'm sorry, and talking, you know. Now he's sober, so he's speaking, transcendental knowledge now. Okay, I remember one time, I don't know if you guys have ever seen these dolls. There's like these, one time there's this one devotee in Houston, he gave me these dolls. They were called Gornitai dolls. And it comes in a little package. It's like little deities, but they call them dolls, so you can give them to people. So I got my friend gave me these Hare Krishna dolls, and then on the back of the box it said something like, "If you worship them, they will fulfill all your desires." So okay. So then I ended up giving these dolls to my father as a gift, just because I don't know what I was supposed to do with them. To me, it was like, come on, it was like giving me deities or something, and I didn't feel like I was ready for that. So I just thought, maybe I'll give them to my father. He can put them on his mantle and maybe do, you know, something for them. So I gave them to my father, and then he read the back of the box, and he's like, wait, so do you mean if I... like take care of these dolls that I'll get all my desires fulfilled? He's like, really? Like, even if I want to like win the lottery or something, you know, like I'll get that by worshiping these Gornitai dolls. So anyway, that was, what's that? Well, I wasn't sure exactly how to answer that, especially with my father. He did end up like putting them on the mantle, and he did dust them off from time to time, and you know, he was reading Bhagavad Gita, you know, because I gave him a Bhagavad Gita too, and he read the whole thing like multiple times, and took notes. Yeah, my dad, and so and he always talks about those Gornitai dolls. Like every time I call him, he's like, oh yeah, those Gornitai dolls or whatever you gave me. Yeah, they're still there. And but basically I think I told him something like, well, if you worship them, then your desires will change so that you won't desire anything that's like temporary or something, so that you'll have spiritual desires and then those will be fulfilled. I think that's how I answered it. But even if you do have material desires, they still end up getting fulfilled if you worship Krishna, if you worship the Lord. But they get fulfilled in such a way that you will no longer have those material desires going into the future. So yeah. So the example given here in the purport is Dhruva Maharaj. It's a classic example for someone approaching the Lord for material desires. He wanted the best kingdom greater than his father's, so he performed all this tapasya and worshipped Vishnu and saw Vishnu. And he ended up getting his desires, but after he saw Vishnu, after performing devotional service, he didn't even want a kingdom anymore. He thought, this is, like, my desires changed, I don't want it. But he ended up still getting it. So Krishna, he fulfilled his desires in such a way that he didn't even really want those temporary things anymore. So that's kind of the principle here. I mean, that's also just the principle in the, that's like kind of the whole principle of the material world, is that this place is meant to fulfill your desires in such a way that you won't want to desire material things anymore. Like, I had another friend in Houston, the same friend who gave me these Gornitai dolls. he used to be a pro wrestler, like a NCAA you know, wrestling. He was like really into wrestling as a sport, and he was really good. He ended up being like the champion in his weight division in the NCAA. So he was like the best wrestler in the whole country, practically, in his weight division. He was so good, and he worked so hard to get to that position. And the whole time he was thinking, oh, if I just win this NCAA, you know, this college championship or whatever, then I'll be happy. So that was his desire. So then he ended up working hard. He ended up achieving the desire, but then as soon as he got the desire, or as soon as he won, he thought he would be happy. But what actually happened was he ended up just sad. First, he didn't even know why he was sad. He just thought that, you know, hey, I'm supposed to be happy. I just won the championship. Why am I sad? But then he realized that, you know, here I spent all my time and energy trying to get this win this championship, and it's not as great as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to give me so much more happiness, but it didn't. So then after he got that, he didn't really desire to wrestle anymore, at least like in terms of competition and whatnot. Of course, the same friend, he ended up using his wrestling skills in the service of Krishna, which is kind of a funny story. One time there was this like army guy who ended up moving into the temple. He was a little rough around the edges. He had a little difficult time getting along with devotees, and No. Let me take that back. He was an army guy, but he was wanting to leave the ashram for whatever reason. He was wanting to leave, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was kind of overseeing the ashram at that time or something, he said, "You can leave, but first you can only leave if you can beat this devotee Sarvabhauma in a wrestling match." You know, Sarvabhauma is this really short guy. He looks very unassuming. He's like, you would never think that he's like a championship wrestler. But there's this army guy, really buff and strong, and like, yeah. And this army guy was like, yeah, sure, no problem. I'll easily wrestle him, and then I'm getting out of here. So that, yeah, and then they ended up wrestling, and then Sarvabhauma just took him out in like no time at all. So then he stood, but then after some time he left. But anyway, nevertheless, he did stay for some more time after that wrestling match. So anyway, these are, I guess, some thoughts that I had about having a desire and having it being fulfilled. I'm sure everybody has got stories of, or another example that I was thinking of is, you know, because the sentence here said, then even though he has no desires, whatever desires he previously had can be fulfilled simply by worship of the Lord. So I had this experience, maybe some of you have also had this experience, where you liked certain movies before coming to Krishna consciousness, and you had a desire to see certain movies, then Now that after you come to Krishna consciousness, I mean, you still kind of like those movies because the samskara is still there. You still think they're funny and whatnot. Like you can't like kind of get over that. Like some movies, like Office Space, I think is just hilarious, no matter how many times I see it. But you'll notice that after you come to Krishna consciousness, then any movies you see after that, like new movies that you don't have like a samskara for, but just like new movies, there's no life. You just can't get into them. You can't like any more new movies. So even though you might have the desire to see movies or whatnot, and let's say Krishna does allow you to, yeah, go ahead, go to the movie theater every now and then and watch a movie, go online, Netflix or whatever you do, then you still can't, you can't like really enjoy those movies as much as you could. So Krishna fulfilled those desires, but in such a way that you didn't want to keep pursuing those desires. So anyway, maybe some other devotees can think of other examples of this principle of wanting something, like desiring something, and it being fulfilled, but it was fulfilled in such a way that you didn't really... Yeah, I'm sure we can all think of it. Ruck Tuck, I'm sure, has something.
When I was younger, I was trying to break into the art, you know, art world, the art market,
yeah,
and sell paintings and stuff like that. When I was younger, and I all, you know, was my greatest desire, and I thought I would be real happy when I finally did break in, you know, get it, you know, do some art shows in some real professional galleries. And the day that happened, I became very, very, very depressed, you know. You know, very depressed.
Do you know why? Or
I thought it would be, you know, the answer to all, you know, to my happiness, you know. And
so it was like a similar experience with, yeah, that wrestler who achieved what he wanted to achieve, but then
I still wasn't happy, right? Still,
because his expectation was, yes, this is going to be the greatest thing in the world, but then it didn't meet. When that happened, it didn't meet his expectation.
It didn't mean nothing, right?
And that actually leaves you depressed.
Yeah, I reached the goal, but it didn't. It didn't do anything.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Jai Baladev.
Hare Krishna. I really like this type of discussion because, like Ratsa said, you kind of get the opportunity to learn more about devotees. Like, most of us didn't know that about Ratsa. Of course, I spent a lot of time with them. So these type of discussions, it'd be nice to have them kind of more in Bhagavatam class, because you kind of get to know devotees personally, and they, you know, get the opportunity to share their experiences coming to Krishna consciousness. But this particular subject matter reminds me of just something not necessarily specific, but just something in general, broad. Like, we all desire, let's say your wrestler friend, he thought he'll be happy coming to this prestigious position and winning in AACP wrestling title. But in general in our life, we all desire honor and respect. And we could see that if we don't get it, you know, that completely, you know, that's how you know we desire respect. When you don't get it, you think you don't desire it, but when somebody disrespects you, you get all, you know, bent out of shape. That means you already desired it. That's the indication that you desired it, that if you get bent out of shape, that means you had that desire. And so this brings to mind in chapter 13 of the Uddhava Gita, it describes that who is a rich person and who is a poor person. So it says, one with good qualities is rich, and one who's dissatisfied with life is actually poor. So you may be like the richest person in the world. I remember Radhanath Maharaj said, if you're the richest person in the world, but if someone insults you, you can't think, you can't eat, you're just meditating on revenge, so you're actually poor. So these bad qualities like envy, pride, they're actually thieves. They rob you of your wealth, the wealth of your peace of mind. And so I was kind of appreciating these points, which are essential to kind of meditate on every day, because they come up all the time, this desire for respect. So we all have this desire to be kind of like the center. And I would like a lot of more explaining about something else on this, but I would like to see if anybody else wants to say something in this regard, if you'd like to comment on that.
Michael?
Back to these experiences, getting what you want, not being satisfied. Back in the day when I used to play video games, I'd be very determined to finish the video game, beat it 100% through. But then once I beat the video game, it's kind of like, what now? And then you get sick of video games altogether, because it's
then
like...
Then you go back and do it again.
I spend $60 on a new video game, but I'm still going to get that what now feeling and still get depressed. So ultimately, you get more and more miserable until, like, altogether video games becomes dissatisfying and you just want to stop altogether.
Right.
Kind of just like your friend, you know.
That's an interesting example, because now they've made video games where they're so like engaging, and they realized this flaw in video games that once you beat it, it's no longer fun. So now they have these, was it real time online games where you can like face other people, and like you just enter into this whole new virtual world. You know, they got games like World of Warcraft, and there's probably so many other games like that. I used to play Warcraft 3, and I used to be really good in it. I used to be really like into these kind of things. And the thing is, you can beat a game and then you're done with it. But with these new kind of video games, you can never get, you might never get sick of it, because there's always something new and exciting, and there's always new people to play, there's new ways to play it, and you could go on doing that forever, so much so that there's like these people in Taiwan that they get so absorbed into these kind of video games that they'll go on these binges of like playing video games for days and days straight without sleeping, eating, or anything. They'll just be so absorbed. And then I know of at least two cases where people have died from just sitting there playing a video game, and then they just get so absorbed that they literally die. So that's kind of like the extreme of... what's that? From heart attacks. Right, yeah, they're supposed to be like, super, you know, like the prime of their life, and they're dying from heart attacks from playing video games so much. So anyway, it's an interesting example. Himanshu has something to say.
I'm wondering if you could answer this question, came into my mind. Seems like there's two strategies Krishna has in place to purify us. One is the fulfilling of our material desires and then leaving us feeling a little unsatisfied with it so that we can see the hollowness of the whole thing. The other is kind of bringing us right in face to face with our material desires. This is what he does to Arjuna. You know, he brings Arjuna right in front of his greatest attachments, Bhishma and Drona, and then like kind of leaves it up to him. What do you want to do now? So can you comment a little bit about the second strategy? Because we're practicing Krishna consciousness, we have material desires, and Krishna brings us face to face with it, and then we're kind of like, didn't know it was there. And then where do you go from there, you know?
Well, yeah, like that's the idea, is that there's some spiritual desire that these aspiring devotees have. They do want to someday somehow serve Krishna. And so there is some like real sincere desires in there for one who is sincere. So Krishna sees that sincerity, and then in order for one to be able to fulfill those real spiritual desires, you kind of got to deal with these material desires, kind of dissolve them one way or another. So Krishna helps us out by helping us dissolve these material desires, and one of the most effective ways to do that is having Krishna put your material desires and attachments right in front of your face. And sometimes you don't even know they were there, and then Krishna puts them right into your face, because once something is kind of, you know, your desires and your attachments are kind of put in front of your face, now the enemy is exposed. So now there's a much better chance of dealing with those things, whereas before you didn't even know they were there, so how can you deal with something where it's not even there? What's that?
They're in the storage.
They're in the storage, right. So then Krishna brings them out, puts them in your face, now the enemy's exposed. Now you get a chance to like kind of react to that either. You know, it's like a test of one's sincerity, depending on how we deal with that when our attachments are kind of touched like that. Jai Baladev is eager to share something.
I'm glad you mentioned that when Krishna puts your desires, material desires, and you're like, they're like scary. And I appreciate you just mentioned that point. They're a test of your sincerity. So this is the pastime of the sparrow that I always appreciate in chapter 6, verse 24 of the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada mentions this story in the purport. And this is one of my favorite stories in regards to our determination in Krishna consciousness. The lesson I took from that is that for the sparrow, it was impossible for her to empty out the, you know, ocean. In much the same way, it's impossible for us to get rid of our material desires without the mercy of devotees like Garuda. And so, but the sparrow never became, she never had the mentality of hopelessness, because her prized possession, her eggs, you know, if a mother loses her child or the child is lost, the mother never loses her enthusiasm. She's always determined to fire a child if her child got kidnapped or something. So I really appreciate at this point, even the sparrow had naysayers. You know, they say, oh, you can't do it. They start laughing at her. Oh, you. So in our material, in our spiritual life, we may have, you know, naysayers, but they're pretty much Krishna in the form of other devotees, or you could say Maya testing us to test our determination and how much we really want Krishna consciousness, this pure devotional service platform. So this is one of my favorite pastimes, because sometimes our material desires could make us become depressed and dejected. And so this reminds me of a verse in the Gita in chapter 3, verse 31. It says, Ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manavaha shradhavanto anusuyanto mushante te apikarma bi. It says that one who, Krishna says that those who are faithful to this process can become free from the bounds of karma. And so we may all think, you know, sometimes our material desires, we like, oh, I'm not faithful, you know. You know, I shouldn't come to the temple, you know, I'm obviously not faithful. That means I'm not going to be free from the bonds of karma. But Prabhupada makes a very nice point that I always keep in mind in the purport of that. I don't want to kind of butcher it, but can you go to 331? Is that possible on your computer? The last sentence of it? I mentioned it with Lakshmi Moni.
Bhagavad Gita 331?
Yeah, 331. It's, I think, an essential point, especially for people who come to Krishna consciousness for the first time, and just for devotees in general, you know, who may be, you know, come dejected because they're overwhelmed with the ocean of material desires. But this is reason not to become dejected. It's simply a test our determination. How much do we really want this devotional service, this pure devotional service?
Okay,
331. The last sentence, it says, in the beginning, something, something, something.
In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness.
Exactly. The sparrow didn't consider that, oh, this is hopeless. It was obviously a hopeless, impossible task, but she never considered that. And by this determination, we could receive the mercy of the Lord. So these are points I'd like to keep in mind and just like to share that. So thank you. Hare Krishna.
Grunanidhi Prabhu, thanks for sharing.
Yeah, there is a nice verse. That Krishna says, whoever, whatever they desire, I fulfill accordingly. Mm-hmm. Thing is that also Krishna sees which is best benedictions, you know, which is best things for us. He awards that. Not anything we can desire from Krishna, our material desire will be fulfilled.
Right.
Like, for example, Prabhupada has given example, like, suppose a small child, he went to marketplace with his father. He wants a sharp knife also, you know. But his father won't buy the sharp knife for him, because he knows that what he will misuse, he'll cut, you know. Same thing. So whatever material desire we are having, it is fulfilled, of course, which is not against our devotional service. Krishna sees also that.
Yeah. Either Krishna will, against options, either he'll fulfill the desire, yeah, you know, whatever material desire you have, and then you'll realize it's whatever. This is for one devotee who's sincere. Or he'll not fulfill it, and then maybe it'll either go away where you don't even have that desire anymore. So in that sense, he's kind of fulfilling it. But a lot of times, you know, like devotees with bad karma or something, they I have all these material desires and I'm coming to Krishna and they're not being fulfilled or whatever. But that could be because it's probably for your best interest that you're not getting those desires fulfilled. You know, like if Krishna were to give certain people a lot of money or a lot of intelligence or something, they would totally misuse it. They'd become full of pride or puffed up or something, and it would be very bad for their spiritual life. So Krishna might kind of withhold those things from that devotee because he in order to help that devotee move, you know. In fact, that's what Krishna says. He's like, to those devotees who I actually favor, I actually take away a lot of things. And that's how, you know, how you can know that. One, anyway, that's an idea of kind of along these lines.
Right. And one more thing I want to say, that one time what happened, Prabhupada mentioned, I was studying about his biographies, you know. There was a nice book in the ashram. And there here Prabhupada mentioned, sometimes, you know, when we feel suppose one living entity, you know, he is getting some bad desire, like, you know, to, suppose in such a situation, you know, some situation arise where something, you know, like so many bad desire is coming in mind. So what you have to do, how to counteract? Thing is that there he has mentioned, you have to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Seriously, at that moment, you will get rid of that desire. That's a very nice remedy.
Yeah, if you can do that, that'd be nice.
Like, for example, when Haridas Thakur, in front of Haridas Thakur, this prostitute came. So, like that, in such a situation, when suppose a devotee is in under that situation, so how to counteract, how to get rid of that situation? The best thing is to chant, you know, then you will, you know, get rid of that desire. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else would like to share anything? Jordan.
Hare Krishna. All right, I just have kind of like a reflection, that thoughts that have come to mind. I was thinking, basically, like all these material desires, these huge material desires, are basically like a mirage. Like they look like paradise in your mind, but then when you get them, they're just like empty, completely empty. Mm-hmm. Like a thought that I had was, I heard like Tom Brady, like he won so many Super Bowls or something, but he said, like, I just know there's something more than this. There's like, it's not fulfilling at all. And I've heard like a bunch of athletes say that. And all these stories of people getting the topmost of the material, like achievements, and it's just nothing.
Right.
And so I just wanted to like reflect on, like, just like washing pots in the basement here is like more satisfying than winning the Super Bowl. Like, like chanting around a japa, you feel better inside your heart, like, than if you did like the highest achievements. So that was just a reflection. That
nice. Thanks for sharing. That's cool. Yeah, I also remember, was it Robin Williams? You know, he was also like that. He said, Robin Williams, you know, the comedian who committed suicide or something. He said, you know, I can make, do you see the irony here? I can make anybody laugh. I can make the whole world laugh. I can make everybody happy, but I'm not happy. So, you know, there's something, you know, he was on the top, he's like probably the most famous comedian in the whole world. You know, probably the best in his, what he's doing, but he was still unhappy. So anyway, that's a good point.
Yeah, these are very nice points. It reminds me of that some people think if you have the best karma in the world, you may be the most beautiful person, you know, in the world, or girl or whatever. And you think, oh, they're happy. They must be happy. But we can see that most celebrities, they're actually the most loneliest person in the world. Why? Because people are surrounded by them due to motivation, material motivation. You may be beautiful, I want to exploit you for sex. You may be rich, I'm only around you for your money. So actually, even though they're surrounded by an entourage of people, they're actually, in fact, lonely. No one's around them, actually, because it's all material motivation. And so we can see this is missing in their life, this love. But more than this love is, like Jordan said, this Christian consciousness. And so these are also points I like to keep in mind, you know, I want to share, you know, with you guys. So Hare Krishna. If you have any comment,
it's really nice that Jordan was able to relate that to pot washing. Not everybody can can come to that realization with pot washing pots, but that's cool. Okay, anything else? Jitendriya.
Are you going to show a little slideshow?
I don't think so. It's already.
Oh, you already explained everything perfectly.
Well, this. No. Anyway, this was just a backup in case was no discussion, which there is discussion, so we didn't have to resort to this.
I remember Chanaka Pandit saying, go for the real wealth, true religion, meaning, you know, understanding our relationship with God, devotional service. I remember reading that in one of his, you know, famous maxims. Hare Krishna.
Okay, thanks. Chaitanya Priya.
Hare Krishna, just a thought came to my mind. I read somewhere that it is because of our desire that we are away from spiritual world and came to this material world. And it is because it will be because of our desire that we will go back to the spiritual world. So it is our desire that will take us back to the spiritual world. So desire is so powerful. So if we know how to use it, if we know how to use our desire to make Krishna happy, then we are successful. So I was thinking, if you would like to comment on that.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Of course, it's not like there's this movie or book called The Secret. I don't know if anybody heard of this. Basically, the idea of this book is that if you desire to have something to happen, then it will happen. So, like, they take examples of these people who were, like terminally ill or something, but because they had such an intense desire to get better or something, then they got better. The idea is that the whole world kind of revolves around your desires, or at least your situation all revolves around your desires. Something like that, yeah. So this is only half true. This is at least the way we understand things. It's not just, it's not just your desires, but it's also your activities, what you deserve. Prabhupada says you must deserve and then desire. Just clarification, but yeah, it is true that desire is going to be the thing that gets us out of the material world, but as long as we don't misunderstand that, as long as I desire something to happen, then it will be true, or then it will come to pass. Because it might not be within your karma to, I desire to win $1 million, but it's not happening. So, because it's not within your karma. Okay. Jai Baladev.
Something that came to mind about the Haridasa core pastime that was mentioned. In that section, it's an Anchali, the glories of Haridasa core. Prabhupada mentions, of course, Haridasa core was the epitome of Trinada Bisuni Chena, you know, honoring, respecting people. And the one thing I just thought about now, I'll probably write it down. I usually like to write down notes if something important comes to my mind. When Haridasa core was associating with the prostitute tried to, throw him off his game, basically. And the thing I appreciated about this pastime just now, actually, is that Haridasa Thakur, he wasn't, like the great saints throughout history. He wasn't judgmental, or she was like a normal karmi. She was impure, she had impure desires, but he never criticized or judged her, not even mentally. He just continued to do his Shravanam Kirtan program to purify her. And so this reminds me of one devotee, I'm not going to mention his name. He said, nor am I going to mention a Maharaj. He said, when he had a conference with Maharaj, he told Maharaj, he was like, Maharaj, in my past, I did a lot of sinful activities. And Maharaj essentially said, whoa, you're going to have to keep that to yourself, basically. So he wasn't judging him, nor was it necessary for him to, admit all his, activities, because one cannot essentially dispel darkness with darkness, but only with light, this Krishna Katha, this Shravanam Kirtan program. And that's the one thing I appreciate about this Haridasa core pastime, is that we always have to be careful when we see devotees. or other newcomers come in, not to judge. And we also have to be forgiving of ourselves. We may have so many material desires, but Maya wants to keep you down from your material desire. Oh, don't go to the temple. You're not a pure devotee. You have so many desires. Don't associate with devotees. These are all thoughts, you know, by Maya, just to test our determination, how much we want to sincere to come to Krishna consciousness. So this is the appreciation I want to share about the Haridasa core pastime and all the great saints and sages, that they're not judgmental. They have no judgment of anyone. They just continue this Shravanam Kirtan program just to try to purify them. So I appreciate that. So Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. Okay. Thanks to everybody for pitching in to make this happen. This class happen. Okay. I think we'll probably end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oh, how he became God.